August 31st, 2013, RLRD budget meeting.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The handout that you got, there are some notes here, and there's a couple of, there's like three exhibits, but the notes are entitled Budget Highlights. And what I'm going to focus on is this one exhibit that shows 2012, and then it shows the first 6 months of 13, the balance of 13, and then what we're proposing for 14. And then also attached to that, I did a little analysis on property taxes, which you'll see in the very end. I actually used my own county tax bill to kind of give you an idea of what the Lake District's assessment looks like. First of all, for 2012, our tax revenue was $252,000. Our interest income was $10,479. And I'll just mention about interest income. We used to earn at least $25,000, $30,000 a year on what we have in the Treasury right now, but the interest rates being so low, I'm projecting we're going to earn about $8,900 in 2013, and we'll earn about $7,500 in 2014. I mean, it's just the interest rates are terrible. We have to be in ultra-conservative investments. We cannot be in the stock market. We can't be anything that would be considered a risk, where we would be risking the principal. So we're primarily in certificates of deposit, and the certificates of deposit have to be with a bank registered to do business in New York. And we also do T-bills, but we haven't done T-bills in a long time because their rates are even worse than what the CD rates are. To give you an example, I just rolled over two $100,000 CDs. One, I got a rate of 0.25%, and another one I got a rate of 0.4. The Treasury bill rate was like 0.1. So it's just, so that's really has hurt us revenue-wise over the years, the past couple of years. The grant revenue that you see in 2012, that was the balance we received on a grant that we got from New York State to organize the records in the Rushford Lake office. And basically the additional time that our employees spent on that and other expenses we had for shelving and things like that was paid for by the grant. Going down, insurance, which is primarily the big bulk of that is liability insurance, is $23,097. Legal fees were $11,929. The survey, which was... this was an additional installment we made for $2,750, and this was up for a topographic survey of the dewatered tail pool. That is something that the state wanted us to do, to take a topographical survey so that if there's any overtopping on the dam, people could they could then go back and determine how much erosion there was. So that was requested by the state. Engineering-wise, we spent $41,635. These also were mandates, but in order for us to get the final installment on our 2001 grant, there were several projects they wanted us to do, and they wouldn't release the funds to us, the total release of the funds, until we had these done. So we spent on dam inspection and maintenance plan $14,170. That was actually to come up with a book with a maintenance program in it that our dam employees follow. It's a regular scheduled monthly maintenance on the mechanical parts of the dam. For $27,465, the state wanted us to do an engineering assessment of the dam, which we did. And Acres then came back to us and gave us a list of things that needed to be done. And that formed the basis for what I'll talk about later on.
So that's what's in that 14 or 41.6. That's all engineering stuff.
That's yeah. Right.
That's right. The major repair in the dam, there wasn't much.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So what's the difference in that 21,000 as property improvement?
I'll explain that.
Okay.
Major repair in the dam. We didn't do much this year. We did wiring in the gatehouses, emergency lights, and outlets for the submersible pumps. What we did when we had the valves inspected, we had to dewater the tailpipe. So when we first did that, we had gasoline-powered pumps, which was a disaster.
Which we ran.
So we put plugs down there. Now we have electric pumps, so we can just submerge the lines and go away until it's dewatered. And the dewatering is done in order to do an inspection on the valves, because the valves are underwater.
Are those permanent pumps?
No, they're portable. Property improvements. We had an installment on a dock at Balcom Beach for $2,541. Not exactly sure what dock that was. That could be the dock that's used to park the barge, or our own barge.
Yes.
Landscaping at Balcom. This was required after the break wall was put in. We spent $4,975 on that. Security cameras at Balcom Beach were $651. And then some additional costs for the Balcom break wall was $13,009. I believe that break wall cost us, what was it, about $35,000, I believe it was, to do that whole break wall. Somewhere in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what we budgeted, so we were pretty close on that. But this was just some work that was done in 2012. The bulk of that cost occurred in 2011. $1,395, we glanced down. Well, first of all, I want to highlight the water testing in 2012 was $2,796. This is a lab that we've contracted from Chickawaga, I believe, to test the water. Because of the dairy farms and stuff like that. And we've all gotten nothing but positive things back from that.
How many tests is that, and what do they test for?
They test for nitrates, coliform, and then there's a bacteria. There's like four or five different ones.
E. coli,
I can send you a list.
Nitrates, like, nitrites.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the first part of the question is how many tests were there?
Yeah, how many tests is there?
We ran, I believe last year we ran three different tests, but in five different areas, three or four different tests.
So it's like 15?
15 samples, you mean?
It's, yeah. 15 separate tests?
Mm-hmm. No, there would be five areas in which we tested.
Five areas times?
Five areas times three.
Three.
And then I can't remember.
15.
Yeah, so 15. 15 tests. Yeah. But now this year we tested one time and everything was positive. And I believe our results were, it only cost us like $680, I believe, this year for our testing. But now I'm testing for soap in the water because there's been soap suds. Mm-hmm. So that sample is in the lab right now and we're going to have the results next week.
So that one time test for $620
that was for
added up to
$600. That's because he didn't feel it was necessary to test for the nitrates this time.
So that's just for coliform and E. coli.
No, there was, I believe there was three or four. I don't have the paperwork with me, but I could email you a copy of all the.
Well, the county comes and tests the beach.
The beach, they do the beach.
That's all they do.
That's all they do is the beach. But we want see what we like to do
and they
is test.
Didn't give us the results. You believe that?
Sure. Well, and that's, but I mean, the county would come and sample the rest of the lake, wouldn't they?
No, they won't. I spoke with the county yesterday. Yeah. I spoke with Tyler yesterday from the county, and because I told him that we're getting soap, and Bill Witkoff traced it back toward the creeks, where it's coming from. So I called Tyler. I said, it's coming from back there. He said, Dave, you have to pinpoint to me exactly where it is, what house or whatever. They're not going to come out here and search to find out where it's, the source is coming from.
I can understand that. But, I mean, just general water samples at different locations around the lake, they wouldn't do it?
No, they just test by the beach.
And we pay $186 for every test.
That's what I was trying to get at, because the county charges like $40.
I think $186 seems really high.
Yeah.
I know you did some research.
I know nitrates and nitrites are like $45. E. coli and coliform is like $40.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
I guess to do a true comparison, you'd have to find out what the county tests for and what our lab tests for. I suspect our lab tests for more things than the county, but I don't know.
Well, and when you do testing of water samples, you have to tell them what you want to test for. They don't just take a sample and test for 45 million things or chemicals.
The first three times they did last year, they test for five different things, okay? They were testing for, like, the manure, you know, the bacteria, yes. E. coli, anything like that. And all of our levels were low. So this year, he couldn't see us wasting the money, you know what I mean, unless... Yeah. And I respect the fellow due to the fact that he could have really, you know, charged us. He says we could do it two or three more times and test for nitrates and this and that. But last time he didn't even test for the nitrates because he didn't think it was necessary. So I believe he's being totally honest and fair with
us. Oh, I'm not disputing that.
No,
I'm not disputing that. I just, you know, it just I didn't realize that the county would not take samples of the lake.
No.
I wonder why they won't.
And then if we want to go outside the Lake District, like I was told not to go out, like across 49, because I did do testing across 49, and it's where some of our levels were high. They were high across, you know, from the creeks. But I was told not to test over there because it's not in our Lake District.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
But the thing of it is, though, is I think it's necessary to test there because it's coming into the lake. But our lake, fortunately, it was absorbing everything that was coming in, it was dissipating.
That's what your green strips are for, yes.
Right.
And this morning, the soap did appear to be coming from the creek.
Yeah, that's where Bill Woodcuff. I went down there yesterday and I looked all around. I didn't see the soap.
I mean, we didn't go out and trace it, but coming, just looking out our window, it looked like it's from past you.
I've never seen it, though.
You've never seen the soap.
So on the surface?
You've never seen it. I could see it from my window without my binoculars this morning.
I looked, but I couldn't find out the source.
After it rained a couple weeks ago, we had all that soap. Sarah said it was coming down their drainage ditch.
See, we don't know if maybe if someone's pouring out soap in their septic system to try to, you know, mix it with their whatever.
I mean, somebody could be doing laundry and discharging.
You don't go through cycles of that. Because I can still remember 20 years ago, one of my neighbors being up in arm about it kept wondering, what's all this soap about? What is all this stuff? And he kept thinking, something's got to be done about this. But it seems to appear every now and then. I don't know really what the cause of it is. But.
Right.
Can we get the DEC?
I spoke with the DEC, and the DEC, they don't test either for it. They will not come down here and test, so that's why we have our own.
They won't. They're not in charge of, like, making sure the creeks have run off and everything.
Unless we find something, two years ago,
there was 17 truck tires came down the lake. We called the DEC in Buffalo. They said, don't call us, call Olean. We called Olean DEC. They said, we don't have anything to do with it.
I called Olean. I called Albany also. I've spoke with everyone that I could possibly speak with.
But you don't dare want to dig a hole and put
a
post for your dock in the ground, but they can let 17 truck tires. I mean, they were truck tires, not...
But I mean, Jenny, if you could get other quotes where we could have it tested lower, I mean...
I did not realize that the county would not come and do the water samples.
They will not do it until we can identify exactly where it is coming from, then they will go down there and have the regular testing. No, I understand.
Because I knew they came here to the lake and tested the beach. Yeah.
That's all they do, just the beach. Mm-hmm.
That's just because it's a county swimming area and they have to make sure that it's safe for the kids to swim.
Exactly. That I understand. But I, you know, if you paid them, I didn't understand why they wouldn't come and take.
They're already here. Why they just call take
further tests?
Well, maybe we could check with them and see that. Okay. I could check with them and see if they'll do that.
Okay.
Maybe they'll test other areas.
Yeah, I'll ask Kyler.
Okay, Bill.
All right. The office equipment that you see in 2012 was some shelving that we bought for the office. Equipment $11,950. We spent $1,442 on an engine drive pump $3,405 on a 10-ton hydraulic maintenance set, and $3,120 on a submersible pump. So that's it about 2012. At the end of 2012, we had $1,320,000 in what we refer to as the reserve fund for dam repairs. You can see that right at the bottom in the, on the first left-hand column. So now I'll move over to 2013. The tax revenue we raised in 2013 was $250,189. The reason that was below the year before is the state had set up a mandate, they call it a property tax cap. I think maybe some of you have read about it in the paper. And our budget was done before we knew of this cap. So we had actually overcharged $1,800. Mm-hmm. So we had to deduct that from our taxes for 2013. That was another requirement by the state. The grant revenue that you see there, $65,487, that's the final installment on the 2001 grant that we had filed for the center pier. That was an amount that they withheld for us to do all this engineering work. So you can see most of it, if you go back to the year before where we spent $41,000, we practically spent the entire amount on additional studies that they wanted us to do. Sale of lumber, $2,000. That was some treated lumber we had left over from the construction of the Balkan break wall, and we had it left over and we sold it for $2,000. Insurance, we were able to get a much better insurance plan. As you can see, it's down to $11,750. So we had quite a significant savings on that. Legal fees, again, $12,900. I'm projecting another $6,900. To where it would be about $19,810 for 2013. Engineering, we had an $8,000, we're estimating $8,000 for some work that they helped us with publishing some grants, filling out some letters of intent for some grants, and I'll discuss that a little later on as to what we're doing there. Major items, $172,550. That would be the balance on the tram of $107,550. New pump for the hydraulics, $25,000. And another thing we put in, $40,000 for the repair of the fins on the hull bunger valves. The purpose of that is the metal is very, very fragile. And the concern of the dam... the maintenance people on the dam have said that if any of those things would break off, we could possibly be unable to operate the valves. So we're going to have a welder come down and weld those fins so that they're a little sturdier, let's put it that way, so we wouldn't have anything bust off. Now, again, these are estimates on our part. We don't know what this is going to be. It's just something we want to try. We had divers go down a few weeks ago, and for the examination of the trash racks and the operation of the gates in front of the valves, and that is going to total about $52,000 we'll pay for that. They also took a photograph, or a video, I should say, of the entire face of the dam, the water side of the dam, which Acres will look at and see if there's any additional work that they can see we need to do. Property improvements, $924. You can see that in the projected column for July through December. And that was, we installed the security cameras at Balkan Beach. A little further down, you'll see lake level monitoring equipment. The lake level monitoring equipment is still installed. However, the security that it checks on is not adequate. And we feel for additional programming to be done on that, it's going to cost us another $5,000. Problem with it being right now is to get the signal down there, I believe. Right, Doug?
Yeah.
So I'm anticipating that we're going to take about $80,000 out of the reserve fund. And at the end of 2013, the reserve fund will go from $1,320,000 down to $1,240,000. Now let's talk about 20. One thing I wanted to mention in the wages, we've hired three additional workers to one worker to be a backup operator for the dam, and two other workers to do maintenance work. And in the 2013 numbers, their wages, I'm guesstimating, would be about $4,425, an additional $4,425 for those three individuals. Now let's go to 2014. The property cap is still in effect in New York State, and for Allegheny County, you're limited in raising your taxes to 1.6%. We're proposing we're going to raise our taxes 5%, and in order to do that, we have to take a roll call vote of the commissioners, and if they vote, if we get a majority of the commissioners to vote for that, we're proposing to raise the taxes 5%. Now, just for you, for all you people to understand, that would be an additional $8,500 for the district. And the analysis I did on my own tax bill, do you have this? Maybe if you could just flip to this over here, Rob.
The last page.
Yes. You can see where on my own taxes, the county tax bill and the school taxes, it's the Lake District assessment's like 7.1% of my total tax bill. And this 5% increase would increase my district taxes $27. So I'm not trying to, it's not like your county tax, it's not like your school tax. It's a very reasonable, in my opinion, a very reasonable charge. And anybody that owns property on the lake, I would think, would say out of all the taxes they pay, it's the one thing that they get the most benefit from.
The way I look at it, Bill, it's an insurance plan.
Definitely. Yes.
Well, look at it this way. If it was a condominium, $568 for
an HOA.
Membership fees would be a pretty damn good deal.
They're usually so, per month.
Right, no, that's what I'm thinking. So
yeah,
sure. I think that's a better comparison. Yeah.
Now, there's people that could say, when I go through the rest of this stuff, you might say to yourself, well, why aren't you raising your taxes more? That's a valid argument. However, the grants that we are applying for, which I'm going to talk about later, the district has to come up with 25% of the cost of the projects. In order for us to get that 25% back, I'll go into the numbers a little later on. Of this $260,000 assessment, if we did no major repairs in 2014, we'd probably be able to put $80,000 of that into the reserve fund, approximately. This project that we're anticipating is going to run us between $700,000 and $750,000 of district money for the 25% match. So you can see how long it would take us to recoup that, a long time. So the question is, do you do it all at once? Do you do it so much each year? I think the Finance Committee and the board, I believe, I'm not going to speak for the board, but I believe that was the Finance Committee's recommendation, and we do it a little bit at a time. And it's still going to take us a while to get this back, but if we get this grant from the state, there's a lot of things are going to get done that we may not have a major project to do for quite a while, even though there are some that exist. That dam is in need of repair. There's no question about it. Is it structurally sound? Yes. Some of these repairs, however, need to be done. So I'll go back. So it's $262,698. It would be for on a $150,000 assessed valuation, another $27 in district assessment. As you can see, the interest income, as I projected it, just keeps going down. There's nothing we can do about that. Insurance, I'm projecting, is going to run us about $12,000 to renew that. Legal fees, $20,350. $10,000 for any additional engineering we're going to need. $94,845 in wages. Now, let me give you a breakdown of those wages. For the secretary and the secretary backup, the treasurer and the lake manager, those wages total $34,000. For a part-time secretary, part-time backup, part-time treasurer, part-time lake manager. That's what we're projecting we're going to spend on that. For the dam, we've got, as I mentioned, we got Bob Pomeroy, Tom Thomas, we've got the three additional workers that we hired, and we have Bill Sikorsky as a consultant. That runs us around $42,000. In my view, to control the lake level and to have the lake up when we want it and down when we want it, $42,000 is probably a bargain. Now, one of the things we did do, and you'll see it a little later on, you'll see it below the wages, there's a figure of $5,400. The Finance Committee recommended that any salaried employee that we have, and we only have two, that's part-time, if they so desire, we would provide for them hospitalization for single coverage. And the district would pay 50% of that. Now, we haven't addressed anything about a full-time employee because we don't have any. So, but for a part-time employee that is a salaried supervisory position, we're proposing a single policy of which that employee would pay 50% and the district would pay 50%. And we're guesstimating that would be about $5,400. $130,000 in repairs for major repairs for 2014. The motors on the top of the spillway need to be rebuilt or replaced. That's going to estimate about $75,000 to do that. The superstructure, as you see at the top of the gates, the big blue superstructure that you see up there, the motors are actually on top of that. They need to be repainted. They're in very bad shape. We're estimating that would be about $40,000. And in 2014, we'd like to continue our vegetation project, which is removing the vegetation from the downstream side of the dam, so we put $15,000 in for that. The additional employees, the three that I mentioned in 2014 that we hired, I'm guesstimating that they would cost us another $5,370. They're in that number, by the way. I'm just giving you an idea of the additional people we hired, how much
it would cost. Did that work out?
Excuse me?
Those employees, did they work out?
So far, so good. Yeah, it worked what you're doing, yeah.
Yeah. The two maintenance people have done quite a bit of work down there already. If you've seen that, that before, that railing along the... Even if you go up by close to the dam by boat, you would have seen a lot of peeling and chipping of that metal railing that goes across. They've sanded that all down and repainted it. And then there was some vegetation growing in the cracks. They burned that out and put new caulking in. Yeah.
Hey, Bill, while we're talking on that, you said an employee, I got two questions about that. Bill Sikorsky is an employee or a consultant?
He's an employee.
Okay. We consider an employee because he signed an employment contract.
Well, that's what I thought. You just said he was a consultant. And
that's his function.
Okay.
That's his function.
Just clarifying that because I thought he was an employee.
Yeah. I just sent out an organization chart to clarify all of this. He is the dam facility manager.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that organization.
He is required, his responsibility is to take care of the dam maintenance.
Right.
And he has two maintenance employees that he's responsible for. On the other side, we have a dam operations manager, that is Tom Thomas, and he has three dam operators that report to him. And his responsibility is to make sure that facility operates properly. So he's the one that makes sure that those valves open and close as necessary and those types of things.
Oh, by the way, we haven't got the report back from the divers, but I think it's fair to say that it's going to be a pretty positive report, I believe. Right, Doug?
With the, better than we ever hoped.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's one good thing. Now, the one thing I want to cover...
Oh, I know. I had another question for you, and I forgot what I was going to start. So, on that benefits package, mm-hmm. how do they qualify?
They have to be a salaried employee with supervisory responsibilities. Not an hourly employee, they have to be salaried. That was the recommendation of the Finance Committee, which it should have been presented to the board. It has not yet, but I put it in the budget because I figured I needed to. But you still haven't had that presentation, right, Doug? I mean, they haven't made a presentation.
Well, there's been discussion, but it's not been finalized.
Yeah, but that's...
I've been working on this with... In fact, I spent part of my day yesterday talking to people about this new insurance exchange in October. Mm-hmm. And it looks like if we wait until October to do anything... this $5,400 could be, cut significantly because of subsidies that...
Offered to who?
By Pomeroy.
No, the subsidies offered by whom?
Oh, by the exchange.
I don't understand what the exchange is.
It's the new phase of Obamacare.
Yeah.
This
is our beloved Obamacare in action. And there are three insurance companies in Allegheny County that are part of this exchange. One's Independent Health, which I happen to have myself, and two others. Just offhand, I can't tell you the names of them. But we can go to each one of those and see what their rates are for our employee. And there are subsidies based on that employee's income that help to defray the cost. Well, who picks up that? Everybody here that's paying taxes, but there's subsidies that he would be entitled to if his income doesn't exceed certain amounts. So I have to talk to Bob to know that.
It's based on people, not organization.
Exactly.
It's not because we're a business manager or something like that.
No, this is individual coverage that I'm talking to him about that has nothing to do with the district other than the fact that we've agreed to reimburse him for a certain amount.
Actually, the way I calculated Bob's wages is that I grossed up his wages to cover the taxes he'd have to pay, and also I grossed it up so he'd have enough compensation to cover his 50% share. Obviously, if that premium goes down, I'll go back to that formula, and I will adjust it accordingly. But we felt Bob is a valuable employee to us, and we felt that even though we're extending this benefit to him, his net pay should stay the same. Even though he'll be, each check that he gets, he'll be 50% of the health insurance premium will be deducted from that check. But that's how I approached it in the budget.
Yeah.
And when we know the final numbers, I can make the adjustments. I said I would mention the projects. We filed in August some letters of intent. We actually filed four, I believe. And the first one was to replace the hollow bunker valves, and the estimate from the insurance company on that was $1,490,000. Now, again, that situation, we would pay 25% of that cost. Again, this is merely in intent stage. We probably are going to have to file more with the state to see if this would what we would qualify for, give them more of an explanation of what we're trying to do. There's a program that came out under Governor Cuomo, a $500 million fund he's got set up for hazards mitigation, is what it's called. After Doug did some further research into it, he found that dams were excluded from this. However, he called our contact at Dam Safety, and his recommendation was to file anyway, to get it all filed, and we'll see if something can be worked out. So it's a little questionable whether we're going to get anything, but I just wanted to make everybody aware of what we're trying to do. The other thing, a leakage monitoring system for $40,000. The state dam inspectors have want us to quantify how much water is leaking through the dam. In order to do that, we're proposing that this leakage monitoring system. I'm not exactly sure what it is. And then above the spillway, there are some rocks that are dangerously close to falling down on the spillway, maybe hitting the superstructure. That would be a $380,000 project. And then the divers, one of the things that they did come up with is the support beams that are in the dam. I believe their evaluation was they're 60% gone. Mm-hmm. So to replace those support beams would be a $362,000 project. We had asked the engineers to include the rebuilding of that access road downstream. And in the meeting we had in dam repair, it was estimated that would be about $500,000, but they did not include that in the letters of intent that we filed. There is some talk right now that Bill Sikorsky has said, a few other people have said that they think we could still get those valves in without having to rebuild that road. We could still get the new valves into the dam. So that would be... So that we have not filed a letter of intent for that.
Is that road right up the creek then?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, you wouldn't know it now, but it once did.
Yeah, when they did the project.
And the feeling
12
is,
years ago they had it.
Right, and the feeling on that, I believe, is what they're thinking is that they don't necessarily need to have a road to do it. And if they put the money into the road, it would probably not be there 8 years from now or something anyhow.
Right.
And I'd even said, I can't believe that they can't hire a helicopter to put it there just as cheap as, or half as cheap as putting it on a road.
Well, also if you brought a dozer down there and just put a quick temporary to get yourself in
a dozer, a crane, dozer with a crane or something like that could get it
I think Bill's idea was a crane.
So anyway, if all
these helicopters up in the mountains to give us supplies, and it's not that expensive. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Dick. I think if we put $500,000 into that road in probably less than 3 years, it's going to be junk again.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it.
I would think a temporary for the job for the moment is all you want.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're faced with continual maintenance on that road.
Right. And as soon as we do that, you know the DEC is going to be right on that.
Right.
Our friends.
Why are you disturbing the rocks?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna put a bulldozer down there.
So if we got all these grants and they were turned into approvals, it would be $2,272,000, and our share of that would be $568,000. So out of that $1,205,000 you see, $568,000 would get subtracted. So that's why we feel we needed to raise taxes, and I think what we'll do is we're going to maybe be on a program of maybe raising taxes 5% every year, unless we get to a point where we have to do more than that.
Can we say a little bit more about these letters of intent, though?
Go ahead.
Well, first, our engineers at Hatch helped with the write-up of these letters of intent. They did the background for us. The other point is that we will, if there are, a letter of intent is accepted, all they're saying is, we like what you're proposing, come now fill out the complete grant application for our consideration. And when I spoke with Don Canastrieri, who he's the lead inspector for our dam, and told him how the grant program is written up that excludes dams, he pointed out that the guide that I was reading and that everyone's being referred to on their website was written in 2010. a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then.
Like Sandy.
Yeah, like Sandy. And currently the New York State's very interested in trying to improve the dams that we have around the state. And ours is a Class C high hazard dam, so it's right up there in priority. So he talked to someone in DEC in Albany, and they told him to come back and tell us, go ahead and put in your letter of intent, and we'll consider it because of that. So I'm very optimistic that they'll go with it.
At least you got him talking.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Is this for contingent on funding?
No. They have $500 million set aside in that hazard mitigation program.
No, but I mean, is our work contingent on having those funds, or we would do it regardless?
We don't have the money.
We would have to get the grant.
Just saying that.
Yeah.
We don't have the money.
We don't.
Right. So, I mean, if it's going to cost us $2.3 million, I mean, we've got.
Yeah, but the work does need to be done, though.
Yeah.
So at some point, if we looked out 20 years and we said that we don't have funds available, then people would have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we haven't looked into, and I think it's a last resort, everybody likes the grant idea because it's something we don't have to pay back. But one of the things we could do is we could float a bond. However, the Rushford Lake Recreation District does not have bonding authority. We would have to go to the town of Rushford or the town of Canyadilla and have them float the bond for us.
Sponsor
that.
Which isn't unusual.
Excuse me?
That's not unusual.
No, you're right.
I mean, you can do that. We actually, at my work, are a sponsor for somebody who didn't have to be able to grant money.
What would be unusual is we've never done it.
No.
What would be unusual?
RLRD has never
done
that.
Oh, I know that. No, but I just think that's the full picture. It's like still needs to be done, hopefully.
No, I agree with you. I mean, if we can't get this this funding from this hazard mitigation, I think we would have to sit down again and look into other avenues. Those valves are 40 years old.
And by the way, I believe you misspoke on those valves, just for the people that are here. It's not that they're not going to work. It's if they break, the water would come through. You said that the valves wouldn't be able to work. Well,
I'm just clarifying that if
they broke, but if they turned them and they broke, the fin is what's filling the hole, right?
Correct.
You'd have to close the gates. And that would be...
Because you still have the sluice gates in front of
Still have the sluice gates, but the gates in front of the valves we
That's
kept
good
closed.
To know, because I still have never seen a diagram, really, of the stamp and don't understand how it works.
Bill, after we collect all our taxes and we go through our payroll, our insurance, and all our deductions, what is actually left for our dam?
You know, well, this year, if you look at 2014, our total receipts, including interest, launches, and tax revenue, is $277,000. We're proposing spending $312,000. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing left. That's why we're taking $35,000 out of the reserve fund.
Right.
And the same thing's happening in 2013. Well, that can't go on indefinitely.
No.
It's going to have to be addressed in some way. And I think the feeling was not to address it all at once, but maybe to address it over time. I just don't think we can adhere to these caps that the state's putting on us. I don't think that's a wise decision.
Is there such a thing as some of these projects being financed?
Say that, I didn't hear that.
Is there such a thing as some of these projects to be financed?
Well, we got a few bankers on the finance committee, and I asked if we could get a loan for this, and there was a blank look on their faces. Yeah. So I'm not too sure.
You know, just because I guess this is a time for discussion and stuff, the Mount Morris Dam used to have valves and gates, and they no longer have gates, and the only way they control the water is through, or they no longer have valves, and the only way they control that dam now is through gates.
Through gates.
They have a system of backup hydraulic gates. So
Well, it's actually better to use the gates more often than the valves.
Well, I'm just saying that maybe we don't need valves.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you do.
Well, they don't, and they're bigger than we are.
We do until we get those sluice gates working properly. Because right now it's a crapshoot whether we get them all the way down again.
Right.
And that's a risk we take every time we raise them.
Well, you have to have a couple of safety measures. You can't just have only one option.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How old did you say those valves were?
40 years old.
So they were replaced at one time or rebuilt at one time, 40 years ago?
Yeah, they were put in. Yeah.
So RG&E did that?
Excuse me?
RG&E had done that.
Yeah, they put them in 1970. The dam was finished in 1929, so it's suiting 40-40. So it looks like we're...
Wasn't that when...
If you go to our website, I've got pictures there. You can see what these valves look like.
I kind of know what they look like already. So, my question is, when they did it 40 years ago, did they rebuild them or they put brand new ones
brand
in?
Brand new ones.
And we want to just rebuild what's there now?
We want to put brand new valves.
We want to replace them,
but
we can't, and they're so expensive that, we're
so
looking
that's
at...
That's what I'm concerned about the fins.
If we don't get a grant, I mean, our backup position is we repair what we have.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, we have a four or five-year plan on all these repairs, correct?
Yeah.
But if the valves we wanted to get as soon as possible. I mean, the only thing I could see is if we could raise the taxes, I mean, 5% is never going to get us anywhere. If these grants don't go through, we're really in rough shape. We need to act, not this year, but I mean next year. If we don't get the grants, we're going to have
to
really...
We're budgeting 2014 here.
I understand that, but I mean, for 2015, to get this work done, we have to get done. We can't really bank on these grants.
Yeah, but Dave, you can't. Your tax revenue is $260,000.
It's
to come up with $1.5 million. You're talking about a massive.
What I'm saying for four years, we really have to raise the taxes. Then we could bring them back down after the work was done.
Like a special assessment.
Yeah.
It's just for 4 years or so this work can get done, because it's
that would be a whopping assessment.
Would be,
I know
yeah,
it would.
I think the most reasonable solution is to...
And people not buying it.
Right.
...is to float a bond.
Well, you haven't said that. If you have, a townhouse or a condo, and all of a sudden there's a special need in that community for something, and let's say they're... HOA every month has been $250, and all of a sudden they say, okay, we have a special need that needs to be done, and you see this a lot.
Right.
And for the next 36 months, there's going to be an additional $250. It's usually not cheap. And if you look at the property, you go, holy smokes, there's $535 a month HOA fee, but they say it's only good till 2015, then it'll revert back to because they had the special need that had to be done. I mean, it's not popular, but you don't have a lake.
Exactly.
You have nothing anyway.
Bear in mind, if you do a loan or you do a bond, you have a period of time to pay that back, as opposed to
a special assessment.
Special
you know,
assessment.
I think you got to look at that.
Well, you have to look at
see
all
if
options.
It's, if it's, yeah, definitely.
One of the biggest drawbacks this year in selling real estate here at the lake, why people are not buying is the taxes. Especially when they see, well, it's assessed for X amount of dollars, and then if I buy it for X amount, and my assessment's going up. I mean, some of these taxes are on lakefronts, $8,000-$9,000.
Yeah.
And their money in the bank is getting
0.4%. Yeah, and they aren't getting anything. Yeah. And next year, the tax on it, just one particular property, is going to be $10,000 to $11,000.
And none of that money goes to the Lake District.
No.
Okay,
right?
We go back to the fact that 7% of my tax burden is the Lake District, and 93% obviously is the rest of it.
Absolutely.
Obama.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, raise the Lake District tax, because it's minuscule compared to what We're talking about what goes to the town and county. Well, it's just a shame.
Yeah. The real bottom line is we need to do whatever we need to do to make sure that dam remains healthy.
Correct.
And, absolutely.
And so whatever that cost is, it's going to. That's it is what it is. But I do think that the most reasonable way to do it is through a floating a bond and paying for it over a period of years, because you get the money up front and we get the job done. If you do raise people's assessment over, say, 3 years or whatever, you're not going to get the job done until you've accumulated enough money to pay for the project.
Absolutely.
And you've delayed it. So to me,
it's... Yeah. Hmm? Everything deteriorates.
And everything gets worse.
Right.
So to me, it's just a... And there's only one solution if we don't get... If we don't get
a grant,
then we have to go with a bond.
I have a question about the valves. You said that there has to do the welding on these fins. Is that inside the valves? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It's part of the valve, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes around.
Yeah. Okay.
These valves go around like this.
Right.
And what happens is that all this lake water and small debris comes in and hits against those and pits them and pits them and pits them. Yeah, exactly. And so we need to resurface them.
So that's going to be a stopgap in between.
Yeah. If we, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So is that doing it on both the valves at the same time?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But we had talked about resurfacing the heads of those valves, so that's a little more than what I'm proposing here.
Well, you're just talking about the fence.
We're just talking about the fence.
Yeah. And just to go away from that, because what you were talking about, Doug, when we were talking about taxes, you said the importance for us was to do those maintenance, to do that maintenance regardless. The point being, although you didn't say it, and I think it's understood, is that it preserves the property values.
Exactly.
Of course.
I mean, just so everyone understands, I think this is good discussion.
If your front lot property is looking at an empty lake, it's not worth much.
It's front lot and back lot.
Yeah.
It's the whole district. Whole district, yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think we have to remember is that the impact is going to be on us that owns property, but there's also going to be an impact on this county in these two towns. I mean, there's a lot of small businesses here that depend upon.
Well, not only that, if this county functions at 100% of whatever money they get, and we didn't support it, I mean, it's because we're paying percentage or whatever we're paying on the value of our property. If that disappears, there's a chunk of their budget that just doesn't exist anymore. They still have the same budget.
So that's why when we go to the Kathy Youngs and once this thing gets moving, I'm sure that's our next step, is to go to her and give it to her to let her run with it.
Yeah,
that's the argument you make to someone like her, but she's well aware of that.
If we don't have a lake,
she doesn't realize
there's not going to be a town. We already don't have a school here. The Cuba school will be affected. I mean, it just snowballs.
All right.
Are there any other questions on any of these numbers that you've been glancing at?
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to say, and I wish there were more people here, but unfortunately they're not, is I've been doing this since '81 when the district was formed, and over the years, many, many boards tried to get standing committees to work. They never did. And I have to commend this board for forming these committees and these commissioners serving as chairs on these committees. And they're working. And it's immeasurable to what it gives to this board. Because the meeting times, if you've been to meetings, is a lot of... It's not unimportant stuff. It's just stuff that takes a lot of time. And a lot of these issues, like what we're discussing right now, they can't discuss in a regular meeting. They don't have the time to do it. And people have donated their time to serve in these committees, but more importantly, the commissioners on this board have made it work because they are part of these committees. And besides the meeting time they spend, they're also spending time in these committees. So they should get a nice pat on the back. This is... We tried this many times. It never worked. It's working now. That's a great thing, I think.
Well, I think it's because of the leadership that came off the non-commissioners, though. I mean, the,
yes,
the Bill Morans and stuff.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
We have a lot
the Jen
of...
Harris, the Jen and Danny Harris.
We have a lot of intelligent, knowledgeable people in our district. And I think the more we reach out, we will be able to get help in return from them. And it's very important. I mean, they all have a large investment here, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I don't have anything more to say.
If we did get a bond, we would have to raise our taxes to pay back the bond.
Right. You'd have to fund the interest on the bond.
We'd have to fund it.
And you'd have to fund the payment of the principal. Yes.
So it's going to one way or the other. But I agree that we should get the bond done. You know.
But you might have 20 years to do that, or 10 years, or 15 years. I don't know what
kind of interest do they have on bonds like that.
Oh, Dick, it's just really bad.
I mean, it's
very low.
It's terrible.
It's low.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
But it's the interest that we're paying. So yeah, it's not that they're... it's not like what they thought they were going to do with college loans and double the interest rates up to 9%.
Just to give you an example, prior to this economic situation we're still in, I was probably making 4.75% on the portfolio.
Right, right.
I'm not even... I've got a one T-bill left that is due in March of 2015 that I bought for 2.5%. And I argued with the guy. I said, I don't know if I want to do it. It was like a 3 or 4 year T-bill or something like that. And it's probably worth $7,000 more than I paid for it. And I thought that was a terrible rate. 2.5, if I could get 2.5 now, I would be doing cartwheels.
Right.
But it, so that's
and part of it is the limitations that we have as a municipality and things. So, yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to get someone in here wheeling, dealing, and all of a sudden your money's gone, your treasury's depleted.
You're like Orange County in California.
Right, like Orange County in California.
But I think if you're doing your job, we're not going to change the law. But I sit on two investment committees, and we're doing really well. I mean, for today's, you know, we got 12.7.
What are you investing in, though?
But they're not allowed to do that type of thing.
No, I said we can't change the law. I just said it's.
And why are we?
That.
Why
it's
are we talking about
it? That. It's not that you can't find that interest these days, but we can't do it.
It's mostly you'd have to be in equities. There's no question. You're not going to earn 12.7% in bonds.
Yeah, exactly. No,
but we digress.
That's a shame that they.
Well, thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
And
this
question.
Would have
been a... How so much per taxpayer would we have to have if we wanted to just, like, get everybody who pays the district tax one-time fee to pay for these repairs, how much would everybody's individual...
Probably eight debt? Times what you're paying now.
I'm sorry?
Probably eight times.
Eight.
So...
Because you're getting...
The average
getting,
one is paying...
You're getting $250,000. These repairs are going to cost $2 million, right?
So everybody would be paying
eight times what our district taxes now. Or something like
okay,
that.
So it would be like another school tax.
Oh, it'd be in thousands.
Right.
It would be in the thousands of dollars.
Okay.
There's approximately 800 parcels in the district.
Okay.
And again, I get back to the fact
that not all developed.
We're not the only ones that benefit from this.
Right.
The state benefits from this. The towns, the counties, there's other people that benefit in this. And it's just, when they give grant money, it's just not us property owners that are reaping the benefits. Although we're a major benefactor, I won't dispute that.
And the towns and the county are not willing to pitch in?
Well, they haven't gone there yet.
We haven't gone there yet.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to cry if they don't have any money either. So.
I don't know what's going on in Canandaigua because I know there's a lot of things talking about with this Pagula thing. I don't know what you guys are. You got to expand 19 and
there's a contract in place to extend the sewer district from Houghton down Route 19. So there's a bonding for that, and I think there's a lot of it's grant money. So I'd have to look into that, but. The college is covering everything that's involved with the Kerr Pagula Sports Complex.
Okay. Doug, are you on the board there? Or just the commission?
There's a group that's been formed called the Houghton Group that's looking at what needs to be done because of that complex coming in, and I'm involved with that. But
can you explain real quick what are they doing to the complex? It looks like they're getting nothing done a year and a half after they started it.
The sports fields are pretty much done. I might even say they are done.
What are they doing?
They wanted to go to NCAA Division III.
Right.
In order to do that, they had to add some sports venues, baseball, softball, a few other things. And so they, Terry Pagula donated $12 million towards this, and then the college has come up with another $14 million. So right now it's at $26
million. Can't you tell them if we lose the dam, that's going to be gone?
Well, the softball field definitely will be gone.
Have any more donations?
But anyhow,
they're building.
The thing that's really of interest should be to all of us is the 6,000 seat stadium that they're building, because that could have a dramatic impact on the north part of Allegheny County, because they're talking about having events there other than sports events, like entertainment and things like that. There's nothing like that anywhere around us. And it's going to attract, the Division III level will attract more visitors, parents, friends, fellow students, whatever, for sports events. And if they have these other events, and we're not prepared for that, our infrastructure is woefully inadequate. They did a study. Ralph Kerr did this study, as I recall,
yes,
of the other seven colleges that will be in this division. There's eight altogether. And looking at within us, whatever the radius was, 2 miles, 3 mile radius, gas stations, lodging, the types of things people need to have from out of town to come. And we are in such bad shape. We have no gas station in our town.
Nope.
We have no true restaurant.
That's in
Houghton. No, Tom McCann did, which is part of Houghton's. There's not a gas station because that sweetheart gas station closed.
Yeah.
Doug, I still have a question. What is it that they're doing next to 19 on the lower level?
That's
the
softball diamond.
No, the sports compound.
Really?
Yeah.
So then where is this Pagula thing going in?
That's part of it.
It's part of it.
But the stadium is up on top.
Up on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you don't golf, right?
No.
But Allegheny Hills Golf Course is significantly better because of the college, because golf is one of the NCAA sports they brought in.
Yeah.
And that's why the golf course changed, because their regs had to be so many yards, and they were two holes short of having 500-yard holes or something like that, and that's part of what happened out there, which was all good for those people with the golf.
I submitted a grant for a town park.
Right, I saw that.
The consolidated funding application through the Western New York Economic Development Council that I'm waiting to hear about. I asked for a couple $100,000. To establish it. The town doesn't really have a park. Mm-hmm. Well, it does. Technically, it has a park just to the right of Subway, if you want to call that a park.
Oh, my.
That's the town park.
Oh, my.
And you live on a river, and we don't exploit that at all.
Allegheny County takes no advantage of the fact we've got the Genesee River flowing through here.
Genesee River Wilds is doing that, though.
Yeah, and I'm on that board. I'm on the Genesee River Valley, or Genesee River Wilds board, and we just had a ribbon cutting ceremony on 19 in Canandaigua for the.
That I wasn't invited to.
That our second. You weren't invited. Our second access.
I talked to Bill about that.
And then this park, if we get it, will be another river access. In fact, the grant. A program that I asked for the money, and there were two. One was for trails, which I don't think we have a chance on. The other one, though, is in waterfront revitalization. And that has a lot more money and fewer applicants. So the woman that's reviewing those applications, Noelle, whatever, I forget her last name, for New York State Office of Parks and Recreation, her advice to me when I was doing the application was, there's only $2.8 million in the trail fund for the whole state. The chances of you getting a chunk of that are remote. They'll probably pick two.
That was from OPR's Green.
Yeah.
But the Greenway Trail goes right through where that proposed park is.
Exactly. And so when I applied both ways for the trails, pointing out in great detail how about 300 yards of the park I'm proposing runs right alongside the Genesee River Greenway, Genesee Valley Greenway, which would make that our park a trailhead for them.
Right.
And I got a nice letter recommendation from Joan for that. She's very good at helping. And then the other piece of course, is a trail back to the Genesee River for a place for the Genesee River Wilds people to have canoe and kayak access.
And they should. But the joke of that whole thing is, even though Joan is giving you a recommendation, OPRHP owns it.
Well, sure.
I mean, it's your own property. Where is the issue? I mean, that's the screwiest situation that even exists. So, is that plowed out now? Down there?
Well, it's passable.
Well, they're doing work for the revenues.
Yeah. They've got to work on a culvert further north.
Huh?
A culvert needs to be put in further north between Fillmore and Houghton on that trail.
Oh. Are they working on that now?
A culvert.
Are they working on that?
No.
Quick question before we leave. When is your time schedule to get those valves done?
Well, you got to see if we get the grant. You were talking about the repair or the replacement?
Yeah. Either or.
Well, the repair is going to be done. That can be done maybe in the first part of 2014.
It's a,
it can be done
the first
with the
thing we
down.
Have to
so
do.
You want to do it this winter then?
Yep, possibly.
First thing we have to do is we have to dewater behind the dam again to bring those valves out of the water. And then we have to do a request for proposals and have companies that want to bid on doing that work come in and look at it. And then we have to, once we select the successful bidder, then we've got to go back in and dewater it again when they get ready to do the work. So it's a...
Yeah.
Hmm?
Well, we own one pump, and we'll have to rent several others to get it done timely.
Where do you get 6-inch pumps down there, 8-inch?
Or are they 6?
No, I think it's more like 4.
No, I thought the one they rented was a bigger pump.
No, the ones they rented were 2-inch.
Ooh.
No, not the ones they rented.
Yeah. Well,
the one we bought was
a 2-inch. Then we rented the 4-inch. And I think this electric is 4, but it could be a little bigger.
Yeah,
I don't want to swear to it.
That water in that tailpool is about 10 foot deep.
It takes
not a little bit of water.
It takes a long time to empty.
Right, that. I said,
yeah,
it was
2 inches.
Using a 6 or 8 inch pump down there.
When we had, I think we rented like 4 or 5 pumps, gas operated. It was a major project. It took 3 days. We had Bob Pomeroy and his two teenage sons bivouacking down there at night because we had to keep filling the gas into the pumps.
Why didn't they just run a bigger pump? I mean, I'm not trying to be...
Well, that's all we could get from Buffalo in a short period of time. Why? I don't want to throw stones at any particular individual, but...
Yeah. Okay.
We did what we had to do to get it done when we needed to get it done.
Derby.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just see the classy cars going by?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? Is there any way, like, if we were to meet with Senator Young and then we could go even higher, maybe she could set up a meeting higher? I mean, the revenue that tax that this district pays to the county, the school, I wonder what that total figure is.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's by the way, she said she would take the lead on our letters of intent.
Okay.
She's already.
Okay, I didn't know. Okay.
So she's trying to move them through.
Oh, good. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yes, it's, we need.
Oh yeah.
Extra.
We're talking about a crane. Are we done? In that road
yes.
area, what would the
thank you,
Bill.
Be used for?
Thanks,
Bill.
Thank you.
These valves come in on a flat-head
truck. I'll take them.
To above the dam.
Well, very informative.